There we go. There we go. Lots of homework, lots of things to do. Anything you want to start with?
No, Rob, I think not. Not today.
All right. All right. We've been in Washington, D.C. is the reason that we're traveling. We were walking through Washington, D.C., down, I forget, N Street or one of those, and there was a jewelry store. And my wife, we went in, and there was something she wanted, and we got it. And I started talking to the guy who ran it. And I said, tell me about your client. And he said, there's a really high-powered law firm catty-cornered from him. And he said, I waited, and once the CFO or the CEO came in, and he bought some stuff, and he really liked what we did.
That's it, Al, right there.
And he said he liked it so much, he went back and sent an email to all the people in that high-powered law firm that they ought to come in and do business with this guy. And they developed a lot of clients. Made me think about you. This guy running the law firm really liked what the jeweler did, just like all your clients really appreciate what you do. And he wanted to help this guy grow his jewelry business. So in that same spirit, you're doing great things. We got to make sure that you're getting in these referral conversations, because I can't guarantee anything. I have strong feelings that your clients like you just as much as this guy running the law firm liked the jeweler. So I thought of you when I heard the story. All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Now, let's start with the question. Those, what can you learn from your best clients?
Okay.
You answered those. Now, I got those in front of me. When you look at that list as a whole, is there anything that jumps out at you? Anything that surprises you? Anything that you slap yourself in the middle of the head and say, gosh, you know, I missed that. So, what jumped out at you?
You know, I thought about that over the weekend because you told me that if I would go through this process, it would tell a story. And so when I finished it, I sat there and I thought, well, what story am I getting from this? And I wasn't sure, in fact, that I was getting a story. But I've had, you know, the weekend, and I've had a few days to let it settle. There are two things that jump out at me. One was, you gave me that assignment and you said, Kent, I want you to call me when the assignment's done, even if it's not our scheduled call, and I will spend time with you. So I blew that opportunity, and my wife's not happy with me about that.
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
You can always pick up the phone and call. You've not been going at this a long time. But tell your wife she's wrong. You don't get many opportunities to do that.
That's right.
Neither do I.
So what jumps out at me is that as I looked at it, the longevity of the clients that I've had, had these people for a long time.
Yep.
And the other thing that jumps out at me is I really have not dug down deep enough to ask them about their will and to maybe drill down a little bit more about, you know, have you prepared a will? Because you asked two questions. You ask about, well, three. You ask about financial planning. You ask about trust and then wills. And I've talked to them about trust. Most of them do, but I really haven't talked to them about their wills. So what jumps out at me is I see an opportunity for some things that I could go sit down and talk to them about that really has nothing to do with investments, but yet it has to do with the holistic financial view.
Building your brand.
Yeah, there you go. And building my brand.
Think about this. And I may have said this to you before. We've been talking for so long. But you think of your brand as what people get from you. Your brand is defined by what people get from you that isn't money management. So when somebody is paying you 100 basis points, and I'm just making that up, to manage money, they're really getting a whole lot more for that 1% than money management. You see it?
Uh-huh.
So when your clients are somebody else's prospects, and there are always guys out there, Ken, who have no game except price. So they sit down with your client and they say, well, how much is old Ken paying you? And they say, they're paying me 100 basis points. And they say, I can do it for cheaper. Now, if all you're doing is money management, they can do it cheaper. Maybe not as well. But for you, it is your brand, all the things they get. So as you, I think you do a great job for your clients. I know that because if you weren't, they would leave. You believe that?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got people here on this list who like you, they trust you, but I don't see very many people. I see mostly no's on question number 7. Would you
correct?
Did I miss anything?
Well, no, I think it's no's on all of them except maybe one.
Yeah. I do this exercise with a lot of people. I don't do it with everybody. I've never had anybody with 19 no's before.
Ouch.
Well, yeah, ouch, but also opportunity. So.
Oh, okay.
You have to accept these people like you and they want to help you. You've got to engage in referral conversations. You've got the brand. You've implemented Supernova. You've got to make sure that you're talking to your clients about all the things that are, that need to get done. When you do that, clients are going to recognize value. And as you remember from earlier in Supernova, the best time to start a referral conversation is when value is given and value is recognized. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's the VITSA conversation. It's the simplest thing that we teach. And I know as sure as I'm sitting here that people, you've missed a lot of opportunities. Well, put another way, you've had a lot of people recognize value. You have not followed up on that opportunity.
Agreed.
Agree.
Okay. Yes.
Now, here's the question. I think I know you as well as I can know you without sitting in front of you and working with you. So why have you not gotten into referral conversations with these people? Why haven't you engaged?
I think there's a couple of reasons, Rob. When value has been given and it was recognized, I've deflected it rather than seeing it as an opportunity. And secondly, it's out of my comfort zone. And I would prefer to think I'm so good that they refer me without me having to ask, but I don't know of anybody that's that good.
Let's say that again.
I would prefer that they would refer me without me having to engage in the conversation. That's what I would prefer. But I don't know of anybody who's that good.
That happens. It doesn't. You know, when I ask people, when we go through this and ask the question about question number one, how did they get into your practice? A lot of times it's a referral. And when I say, was it a solicited or non-solicited referral, it doesn't matter. But a lot of them are getting non-solicited referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Just because mm-hmm. they keep that, again, Kent, these people don't wake up in the morning worrying about how to give you a referral.
Correct.
You've got clients with busy lives. So you have to make it a front of mind experience. Now, this thing with, you know, you say you're uncomfortable asking, and I hear this all the time. That's why we call these referral conversations instead of asking for referrals. It's subtle, but it's different. So get down to the core here. What give me, when you say it's outside your comfort zone, is it because you are reluctant to ask for help? You're afraid they'll say no. It will damage your relationship. Let's get down to the core here. What is that's giving you that feeling?
The first thing that gives me that feeling is over time in my lifetime, there's been a few times I've been asked for referrals and I didn't think it was very effective. I thought at the moment the guy's asking me, I'm never going to give him a referral. But I think
yeah.
the more important part, Rob, is that in my mind, I think it's going to make my client uncomfortable, and I never want to do anything to make them uncomfortable. I always want them to have a warm, fuzzy feeling, and I feel like if I talk about referrals, I might make them uncomfortable.
Okay, let's assume that you do. So what happens next? If they're uncomfortable, are you going to sign the ACATS out? What's going to happen?
That's a good question, and I haven't thought about it. But my guess is with the 19 or 20 people that are on here, if I make them uncomfortable, my supposition is that it will only last for a few minutes, and then it'll be forgotten, and we'll move on.
Yeah. And my experience tells me they're not going to be uncomfortable. They might be uncomfortable because they can't think of anybody because they want to help you. But again, I've never had anybody tell me, and I talked to a lot of FAs and worked with a bunch at Merrill Lynch. I've never had anybody tell me I asked for a referral and the client moved the relationship. Maybe it's happened, but nobody's ever told me that's happened. So,
I would be surprised if that has happened.
So if you think about it, you've got a great practice. I mean, when your manager says, because you're doing what you're doing, I want to reward that and pay for this coaching, that tells me that you've got a pretty strong practice. So, you know, we've got, sooner or later this market's going to correct. I've thought it for a while. I think I mentioned it to you last time. But sooner or later, it has to. I mean, when the interest rates go up or there's another terrorist or whatever, there's going to be an event or just market forces that require that it's going to get ugly. And you've been through those. The way what you do is make sure clients have the right asset allocation so that they don't panic. If somebody has too much equity when the market's going down, they're gonna panic, and they're not gonna get back in until they've missed a lot of the market. So there are people out there who need your help. If you had the cure to a disease, and there were people out there, and this is making a point by being a little extreme, and you had the cure, you'd have no reservations about saying, "Hey, I got the cure to that disease," because you knew you were helping them, right?
Absolutely.
It's the same thing here, Kent. You're an honest man that has a great practice. You do what you say you're going to do when you're going to say you do it. You build trust with your clients. The way you're going to get this practice over a million quickly is by engaging around referrals. The easiest way, I think, for you is going to be when people are recognizing value. Boy, Ken, I really appreciate how you helped me get this plan fully implemented. Whatever. Well, thank you for saying that. I work really hard, or it's very important to me to make sure my clients have great planning. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of guidance? Now, you know, I think that's a pretty professional way to have the conversation. Going through the whole thing, and I know it's redundant. Ken, I can't think of anybody right now. That's what's happening. They're not mad. They can't think of anybody right now. They didn't wake up trying to give, you know, knowing that that's on their assignment sheet for the day. Well, do you have a minute to brainstorm, or do you have a minute to think about it? Sure, Ken, I'm happy to. Well, anybody come to mind who you know is retiring, somebody you work with, somebody you play golf with, somebody you go to church with, all that, you know how to ask that question of your client. Well, Ken, I can't think of anybody. And now your client, now the FA gets really uncomfortable. My goodness gracious, I've asked twice. They've said no. No, they haven't said no. They said, I can't think of anybody. And here's what you say. You're going to remember this. Thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. And you're gone. I mean, you're offering to help other people. Are there people in your office who you would not pick to manage your personal money?
Yes.
Okay. There are people at every firm that in your market where there are people who are not very good at what they do. Doesn't mean they're dishonest. It doesn't mean they're deceitful. They're just not very good at what they do. Though you need to get in front of those people. And when you talk about your practice and what you do, it's going to stand out. I mean, you're going to be the shiniest penny in the pack. So you and I can talk every month for the rest of our lives. We keep coming back to the fact that you've got a battleship. And you need, in my opinion, you need to start firing some of the cannons. You're going to be surprised at how well it's received. But again, I look at all these people, Bill Paulus. 30 years you've known Bill Paulus. He hasn't given you a referral in the past year. I mean, has Bill Paulus ever given you a referral?
Yes.
Okay. How long ago?
It's probably been 5 years or more.
Okay. Why did he give you that referral? I mean, what was the circumstance?
He owns what we call a locals casino, and some of his subordinates, some of the people that he worked for that he was close to, came to him and said, "Who do you do business with?" And he sent me those people. Yeah. Most of them were upper to mid-level management.
Yeah. Okay. The next person, Larry Schiffman, 10 years plus. There's no referral in the past year. Has he ever given you a referral?
Yes. He referred his brother to me.
Okay. These are people who, when people recognize value, it's important you start the conversation. If I were in your position and I had to say, well, you know anybody else I could help, or you know you got three or four people who need my help. That doesn't feel professional to me. But when I am following up, Kent, on what a client has recognized as value and offering to help other people around that value, that's like having the cure to the disease. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate this type of planning? Do you know anyone else who would like to lessen the risk in their portfolio? Do you know anyone else who could use whatever they've recognized as value? And the worst thing that happens, Kent, is you plant a seed. If they've got a good friend who's unhappy with what they're getting from Merrill Lynch, and you had this never forget, never too busy to help people like you, you've had that conversation the day before, they're a lot more likely to say, you know, I deal with the guy, Ken Deaver. He's terrific. We're scheduled every month, blah, blah, blah. If you planted that seed, you got more of an opportunity to get, you're more likely to get a referral because now the client is thinking about it. And I know I've told you this, but it's the story of the Morgan Stanley guy in Lexington, Kentucky. 36 clients doing over $1 million. And he started down this path. He'd been in Lexington forever. And he started down this referral conversation. And his client said, well, Harry, I didn't know you took new business. I mean, you and I don't even, I mean, you want to wrap your head in duct tape so it doesn't explode. I mean, that doesn't compute with you and me.
Mm-mm.
So you are a honest man doing well already. You've got a successful practice. You've got to give people the opportunity to lead you to more people like them. I don't want to oversimplify it, but it's pretty simple. So are you buying what I'm telling you? I mean, do you understand that you've got this opportunity?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm the client, you're Ken. You've just done a financial plan and we've started to implement it and we're implementing it through our monthly conversation. And I say, Kent, this is really terrific. I sleep a lot better at night because I know that you have a plan. We have a plan. I just really appreciate, this planning that you've done. Okay. What's your response?
Rob, I really appreciate you articulating that and tell me that because it's really important to me that my clients have a plan to do just what you said so that you can sleep at night. That's important to me. I want you to be able to sleep. I want you to have a plan because I want you to feel comfortable about your future. Having said that, Rob, who do you know?
Period.
Okay.
Okay, go.
Rob, who do you know that would really appreciate?
Do you know anybody? Who do you know? I feel like I'm starting to get pinned down.
Okay, all right. I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know anyone? Do you see how that, I mean, the words, it's not much of a difference, but do you see the difference between who do you know and do you know anybody? Do you see one's a little more subtle and a little more soft?
It is, and that's why I needed to be coached on that because at first I'm thinking, well, do you know anyone? Just sets them up to be able to say no, and I think but you're right. I tell you I'm afraid of making them nervous, but then I'm pinning them down at the same time.
Unintentionally.
Unintentional.
They're both closed-end questions, no matter which way you ask it. They both could be answered with yes or no.
That's true. You're right.
So do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of planning, type of guide? So, okay, I've just given you a compliment. You're following up. I really appreciate what I really appreciate you saying that. We work really hard to provide that level of planning, period. Now you start.
Oh, you want me to start now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we work really hard. So do you know anyone, Rob, who might appreciate
Is there anyone you know? Is there anyone you know? Start with is.
Oh, start with is. Is there anyone you know?
Who?
Is there anyone you know who might appreciate the type of the planning that we've done for you?
The same time. Yeah, is there anybody you know who would appreciate the same thing that we've done here. However you ask the question. Okay, so you've asked me that question, and I say, gosh, Kent, I know what you're asking me, Kent, but, gosh, nobody's coming to mind right now. Your turn.
That's fine, Rob, but, no. Yeah, do you have just a minute? Do you have just a minute to brainstorm with me, Rob?
Happy to.
Think about, Rob, anybody that you know that is recently retired or they're getting ready to retire. Maybe it's someone at your church. Maybe it's someone that you've played golf with. Maybe it's one of your neighbors. Is there anyone that comes to mind that you know that's retiring?
Boy, Kent, I'm feeling a little inadequate here. I'm just drawing a blank on it. I'd like to be able to give you answer your question, but I'm just drawing a blank.
Well, Rob, I appreciate you. Thank you for taking a few minutes just to think about it. But just remember this, Rob. I am never too busy to work with people like you.
Well, Clint, Kent, thanks for saying that. I love working with you, and I'll keep thinking about this. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We've just come through this. Now, let's do it one more time. We've just come through the planning, and I say, Kent, I really love the planning you're doing. I've done plans before, and they've been very superficial. You really take this seriously. Thank you for the work you're doing.
You're very welcome, Rob, and I appreciate the feedback because it is really important to me that you have a good plan and that all of my clients have a good plan, and we work hard at giving you something that will help you sleep at night. Rob, is there anyone you know who might appreciate this type of planning?
Kent, I wish somebody came to mind because I love what you do, but nobody's coming to mind right now.
Okay. Do you have just a minute where we could just brainstorm?
Sure.
Think about, Rob, perhaps somebody who you know is retiring or is getting ready to retire, or maybe someone who's just gotten into retirement. Think about maybe somebody you've seen at church that you know. Or I know that you play golf, some of the guys that you're golfing with. Perhaps it's a neighbor. Perhaps there's a relative that you're aware of. Does anybody come to mind?
Ken, I'm still drawing a blank. I wish I could, but I'm still drawing a blank.
Rob, I really appreciate you taking just a minute to think about it, but remember this, please, for me. I am never too busy to work with people like you, Rob.
Well, Kent, you're nice to say that. I enjoy our relationship also.
As do I. Thank you, Rob.
Okay. So, now how did that feel to you?
It felt very professional. It didn't feel offensive to me. It felt soft. It felt natural. I want to make sure that I get the words down, right? I want to make sure I practice it. But I didn't feel uncomfortable at all. And as a matter of fact, some of the wording you've given me almost makes me feel like I've gone out of my way to not make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you could have. You could have. And it's also conceivable, Kent, that people are surprised you haven't had this conversation with them already. I mean, everybody, almost every profession. I mean, when I go to my dentist, he's got a little plaque there where you sign in, and I forget the exact words, but it's like the most sincere form of a compliment can be a referral to whatever. I mean, my dentist asks for a referral, so I think there are probably some people who would like to have these conversations with you. And you're going to get lots of opportunities. Got it?
Good. I got it.
Okay. All right. Now, Kent, what year did you start?
January 1st, 1986.
Well, you probably remember the times when, remember retail offerings where you'd be doing an equity deal for a utility or somebody else? It was done on a net basis and you built positions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way it works is the first call you make is okay, because you usually start with the person most likely to say yes. And then the next call is a little bit better. And by the time you say it three times, you've got it. And it's going to be the same with this. I couldn't guess how many times I've gone through the VISTA conversation. I mean, I can start anywhere and loop around and come back to that point, and I can do derivations off of it just because I say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you will make this part of what you do, when you get a compliment, that you go into the VIPSA conversation, it's just going to become second nature. Now here's what you have to do. You can't every time you get a compliment, you can't launch into that.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody thanks you for something today and you're talking to them next week and they thank you again for something else, I think to do the VIPSA a week, you can't, it becomes insincere.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to track it. And when I get home tonight, I will send you something that you can use to track these conversations so you don't get overly, you don't have too many of them. So,
okay.
If you will just be looking for these people who are complimenting you, who are recognizing your value, go into those conversations, I think you're going to be surprised for two reasons. Number one, they're going to go a lot better than you think. And number two, people are going to give you referrals. Maybe not on the spot, but as they think more about giving you referrals, they're going to see more opportunities. If you're looking for something, you usually find it. If you're on an Easter
right.
egg hunt and you're looking for Easter eggs, you're going to find them. If these people
yep.
are conscious of you having room in your practice for more people, they're going to look for them. So I think I've said enough. Okay, now I got to look at something else here. I'm balancing several things on my lap. There it is. Okay, we had some homework for this week, and I just had it in front of me. And now I can't find it. Bear with me.
Okay.
Yeah, you got a few more minutes?
I sure do.
Okay, I'm going to put the phone down. Hold on. Okay. The first part of the homework were these questions. The second part were four niche expansion conversations. Have you had any of those?
No.
Okay. Do you understand that conversation?
I believe that I do. Yeah.
Okay. It's the best way to expand a niche is from those people who are in the niche. And it's so simple. You're talking to a business owner. Let's assume that's a niche. Bill, do you have a second to give me some advice? Well, sure, Kent. What do you need? I would like to add more business owners to my practice. You all understand risk. You need my help because you're working on other things. And frankly, I understand a business owner's thought process. Here's the advice part. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more business owners? Does that sound pushy or whatever?
No.
So, you know what? This is about confidence. If you will use these scripts and put them in your words, they're just going to be second nature. Just like when, you're talking to a client about investments, you can go, you know how to respond. I don't want to take any risk. I don't want to buy any equity. Well, let's think about that for a second. And you would know how you would respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a matter of executing. You've done the hard work. Now it's time to be rewarded for the hard work that you've done. People want to help you. Does it make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Have you read any of Larry Wilson's book?
No, but I went and found it. I've got it, and I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah. I just read five. You don't do it in one sitting. There's a lot there. But
right.
the core of what Larry teaches, or taught, he said, is that you got to play to win. If you play not to lose, and I think you and I have had this conversation, if you play not to lose, that means I don't open myself up to any rejection, humiliation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you win at playing not to lose, there's really not much of a reward. Short-term relief is about all you win.
Mm.
On the other hand, if you expose yourself to possible rejection, do you know anybody? No, I can't think of anybody here. If you do that and you win at that game, the rewards are immense. You expand your comfort zone. Just a lot of great things. A lot of great things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask you to keep reading that book.
I will.
So here's the homework, Ken. It's simple. Is be alert for people who are recognizing your value. When you go into an appointment, you are prepared. You got your bar charts and your graphs and performance and blah 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 blah. You're really prepared. Most FAs are. Very few are prepared to have a referral conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do something that reminds you. And the simplest thing is get an ugly paper clip. You can go to Staples or whatever, and you can get those, just ugly, ugly paper clips, colored, and just pin it on the folder, just to remind yourself to look for opportunities. Because there are times FAs get into the presentation, they're going to ask for a referral, and it just slips their mind. So just remind yourself to be looking for opportunities to have referral conversations. Now, quickly, and then I gotta go. If you're going to the VIPSA and the client says yes, I can't believe you asked me this question, Kent. My brother-in-law is distraught about what he's getting from Merrill Lynch. You never hear from him, blah, 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 blah. You need to talk to him. I'll have him call you. That never happens. That call never comes or hardly ever comes.
Right.
So when they say, you need to talk to my brother-in-law, your comment is, terrific, I'd love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Mm-hmm.
Because the person who says you need to talk to their brother-in-law knows how to get in front of that brother-in-law a lot better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, well, Ken, I'm just more comfortable having them call you, that's fine. You don't say, no, I'm not settling for that.
Right.
See, you'd have been there anyway. So,
that's right. Exactly.
Yeah. So when you go through VIPSA and, I spend more time on the negatives than the positives, but somebody says, gosh, I'm glad you asked me that because, terrific, I'd love to talk with them. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? And then you shut up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Absolutely. Can you repeat the sentence for me real quick?
Sure.
You said be alert for people who are
recognizing your value.
Okay.
That usually comes in the form of a thank you.
Right.
Now, do you have Bill Kate's book, Get More Referrals Now, don't you?
I do. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, that script is like chapter 11. But right before chapter 11, I think it's on like page 70 or 73, there are 10 other ways to get those recognition of referral conversation, recognition of value conversations started.
Right.
Three or four of them make me really ill, but a couple of them are really good.
Yeah.
And here's what I'd like for you to do. After you have had your second VIPSA conversation, when people have recognized value, I want you to drop me an email or give me a call and just tell me how it went.
Okay.
You can't control results. All you can control is activity. You can't make somebody give you a referral. You can't make somebody move their relationship to you. But all you can do is control activity. And the activity here is giving people the opportunity to refer to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
Now, and remember, and you didn't waste the time by not calling me. If you have issues, things you want to talk about during the month, pick up the phone and call me. If I can't talk, I'll call you back. You will not be imposing on me.
Okay.
All right?
Good. Good. Good.
All right. It's always a pleasure.
It's always my pleasure. You're still in the car. Where are you going?
Well, we're coming back from Washington, D.C. Have you ever heard of the Daughters of the American Revolution?
I have indeed.
It's a group. My wife is the head of the Daughters of the American Revolution in our area.
Uh-huh.
And they have an annual convention in Washington, D.C. So we just kind of made a vacation out of it, stopped at an auction, and we bought so much stuff. We met people at the auction, and we bought more than we could put in the car, so they let us store it at their house, and that's where we are right now, picking that stuff up. So the simple answer to your question was we're driving back from Washington, D.C.
Gotcha. Very good.
We'll be home tonight. And I'll send you that piece of paper that allows you to track when you ask those referral questions, so you don't ask too often.
Terrific. That'll be great, Rob.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you next month or sooner if you want to.
I it'll be sooner.
All right, Ken. See ya.
Thank you, Rob. I sure appreciate it.
All
Drive safely.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.